Welcome to the Predictable Revenue Podcast, where frontline sales leaders teach you how to build and scale an outbound sales team. Welcome to the Predictable Revenue Podcast. I'm your host, Colin Stewart. Today, I'm joined by Chris Bryson. He's the head of North America Sales Development and Smart Recruiters and was the first hire of a previous guest. Chris, do you maybe want to give us some context? Tell us, you know, who that guest was and why you were their first hire?
Yeah, so Taff Love was on the podcast a couple episodes ago to talk a little bit about building operations for your sales team, and that's absolutely correct. I was his first hire at Smart Recruiters. Taft was tasked with building a world-class sales development team, and the first step for him was to bring on a manager on the front line to go ahead and put that vision in place. So it was fortunate timing because I was actually looking to move to an enterprise sales org. I had previously worked with him over at PandaDoc, and I actually reached out to Smart Recruiters myself right at the same time as this need was coming to be. And we got very lucky in that we were both able to align on that and get to doing some really meaningful work.
Oh, cool. And so I know Taft was really focused on sort of global operations, and you know, our episode went really deep into sort of collecting the metrics and how to get the right data out of the system. So I guess, are you the yin to his yang, or like what does that relationship look like between the two of you?
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. One thing that Taft's always said is that I'm kind of like the sales trainer or the coach for the team, and that one thing that's worked really well for us is that once he builds the actual technical architecture, I've been able to come in and build training frameworks around it to turn the data insights into actual actionable advice for the team so that we can go ahead and start making changes.
Perfect. And so when you guys first arrived at Smart Recruiters, what was the first challenge you guys were faced with?
Yeah, so it's kind of a funny story, and it's one that Taff might have told on the last one, but I believe I was here for this. It was one of the first few weeks there, but we had a day where an executive at Smart Recruiters came by and just said, "Hey, you guys have the team calling like crazy." And, you know, that's a good feeling, right? We were like, wow, this is, you know, our mission's done, right? We're that's like the best thing you can hear, right?
Yeah.
As a sales manager. But, you know, that wasn't truly the case. If you actually dug into the numbers, people weren't getting opportunities. They weren't handling calls the way that they needed to be. And, you know, calling like crazy turned out to be 120 calls a week across four reps. So you do the math, and that's not what you want when you're an outbound driven team. So that was our first challenge, was why is this happening? You know, why are people maybe not motivated to call or to get results, right? And that's where we kind of started our journey.
So walk me through the journey. So if somebody's sitting there and their reps are making a combined 120 calls a week, where did you guys start?
Yeah. So, I kind of, you know, that was the first question I asked myself, was why, you know, why isn't the team motivated? You know, do I need to get Tony Robbins or somebody in here that jazzed everybody up? And frankly, you know, we kind of came back to the truth that we've adopted as sort of a motto, which is that, kids look for motivation, but adults just go to work. It's not about just motivating people to go out and start calling people. It's really about creating a system where people are incentivized to do that hard work.
Very cool. And so Taft was tasked with bringing in all of those metrics to make sure that you had, you know, for the team. So he was surfacing some of the data and some of the reports, and like, this is how many calls we're bringing in. Then your next step was basically, you know, start training. You know, where does that go? Where do you go next?
Yeah. So once we had the reporting infrastructure in place to actually see what's going on, you know, where are people messing up? We really identified two things. Either reps were having trouble opening calls, or they were talking forever, like 10, 15 minutes for an SDR. That's pretty long, but they weren't setting up meetings from it. And what that led us to was the insight that this is really skill gaps. And that's where it started to inform the fact that we needed a training framework to be set up to address these and other skill gaps that we're going to, you know, of course, surface in the future. So that's really where we started to get this idea that we needed to create a framework and an actual certification program to have our reps go through so that we can correct the issues that we have, but also get ahead of ones in the future.
Very cool. So when you say framework, is this like four steps to being amazing or, you know, what's included?
Well, it kind of is like four steps to being amazing, but, you know, I'd like to think that, but really it's quite simple. It's something that we have adopted that we do every single time we roll out a new training topic to the team. And we can go in a little bit in depth about what each one of these actually looks like, but at a high level, the first step is to actually talk to the team. So, you know, that's your come to Jesus moment, right? Say, hey, here's what the problems are. What do you think's happening? And then set next steps. The next part is to actually have a presentation where training is conducted, homework is assigned, and questions are answered. And then after that, it's really just going over the homework with a manager, making sure that people understand where you know they did a good job and where they need to improve, and then to go ahead and actually reinforce that across the team by anonymizing people's results and calling out the trends that are across the team and addressing any gaps that need to be talked about at that point. And then you just keep going and going and going with every other gap that comes up in the future until your team's perfect, right?
Yeah, of course. Which once they get to that like fully certified state, then of course another team picks them up to be an AE or a CS manager or, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah. Hopefully at Smart Recruiters too.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm guessing this is team coaching. Is it like team, individual? Like how does that break out?
Yeah. So it starts out, I would say, at individualized coaching. One thing that our team's really good at is asking for feedback. We use a tool for them to submit calls and actually have a manager take a look at them. And over time, the manager's job is to really interpret the day-to-day questions and struggles that the reps have with the data in aggregate and identify trends that need to be addressed with the entire team. So it starts out in an individual basis, and then the training is conducted across the entire team.
Interesting. And did you see what tool do you guys use in there?
We use ExecVision, which is a tool that lets you listen to call recordings, provide feedback, and score against a scorecard.
Very cool. I know we're sort of distracting a little bit, but like, what would a typical like outbound scorecard look like?
Yeah, so we break it up into a couple different parts. Each one of them was actually a training and certification that we went through with the team. But it's really just the structure of a cold call. So opening the call, setting an agenda if it happens to be a follow-up call or if the prospect's warm enough that you can do that on the fly. Qualification, building up pain, and then actually going ahead and closing for the meeting. There's a couple other steps in there as well, but those are really the main ones. And the important thing that I'd call out in that is that a rep knows the difference between a score of a 1 out of 5 and a 5 out of 5 at a granular level, because it's something that we've already trained on, done a bunch of examples for, and certified them on.
Gotcha. So that's more for like, once you've got all of these things in there, if somebody hasn't done this training, and is there any value in having something like that?
There is value to have it. Like when we onboard new reps, they haven't gone through all of the training, but they still complete a scorecard. However, it's really important that the reps go through each step in the certification process so that they can actually grade themselves properly. The biggest problem I think that you have with the team is when somebody's grading themselves very differently than the manager, because it means that they're not even aware of problems that they might have.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. I mean, isn't that also a signal in and of itself that you can, hey, this is something that needs to be addressed?
Absolutely. And the answer to it might just be, hey, this person just hasn't gone through certification on how to set up an appointment at the end of a cold call. And it's an easy fix. You just have them go through the training. But, you know, the tougher questions are when somebody's already gone through that, right? And that means that they might need a lot more one-on-one coaching. And there's a lot more work that the manager needs to get done in order to bring that person up where they need to be.
So it sounds like you've got a bit of a journey planned out already. Do you guys have an idea of like, is this part of your onboarding where you go through like these three topics or?
Yeah, so we kind of do a boot camp for new hires, where they're taken through this at a less granular level. And the reason why it can be at a less granular level for new folks is that we do refresh our topics periodically. Generally, every 1 or 2 quarters, where they'll get the full class all over again. And even the top reps will have to go through that. It's not necessarily a recertification, but a refresher. And I've gotten great feedback from even folks that are at the team lead level, where they're like, hey, I actually forgot that I'm not doing that right. I can't remember the last time that I properly did this one point in setting an agenda. And it helps be consistent month over month, which is really important if you're in sales dev, where you're measured month to month or quarter to quarter. You want to have smooth results.
Of course. I found that, coaching our SDR team, it's just reminded me of so many different things that I'm like, oh yeah, I haven't been doing this myself, and just translates. So talk to me about some of the topics that you might cover. And is it just one sort of master list, or do you come back to them at all?
Yeah. So the original process that we went through a couple quarters ago was actually establishing the actual training framework. So the first one that we went through was just how to open up a cold call or an inbound call. We actually have two different scorecards, but I won't get into that much detail. Mm-hmm. So that was the first part that we addressed, is that, if you can't even get past the first 15 seconds of a call, you're not really going to go anywhere. So that was our first step. The next was how to transition from an opener into qualification without it being jarring. And that's pretty difficult for most people. So we spent quite a bit of time on that. The next bit was to teach people how to build interest in the call, establish pain. We did a special one on objection handling, because in our industry, we just have a specific set of those that generally come up. We train people on looping in customer stories for social proof. And then lastly, teaching people how to close for next steps and either set an appointment up for an account executive or a follow-up call for themselves. So that's the initial certification flow. Mm-hmm. When we onboard people, we have them go through a mini boot camp of that. And those topics also come up every 2 quarters, just as a standard review. But ones that we might repeat more often are ones where people struggle. So we'll have specialized training sessions, for example, around brush-offs. So the kind of brush-offs you get on a cold call. Another example would be pricing. Like, how much should SDRs talk about pricing on the phone? It's always something where people struggle, because people always want to say, hey, how much does it cost? And you don't necessarily, want to come out and say that. For certain prospects, it's a pricing conversation for an account executive. And those are ones that we might do every 1 to 3 months. The other ones might repeat every 2 quarters or so.
Gotcha. So how do you see this take shape in your mind? Is this something you guys are deciding ad hoc, or like, how do you figure out, all right, now it's time to go back to, working on pricing?
Yeah. So this is actually where a lot of the reporting infrastructure that TAF set up comes into play. That's more for things that can be easily measured, like call length or just the number of connects, or even tying the data in into the types of personas that people are reaching out to. So you can look, for example, you might look at one rep who's not setting in any appointments, but their call length looks right. They sound decent on the phone, but then when you dig in the data, you see that all of the connects that they get are with manager or individual contributor level folks, and they're not calling high enough into the org. And it's maybe because they're afraid of talking to power. And then you need to do a training session on how to talk to power, how to talk to decision makers. So that's how we do it. It always comes back to the data. Even if we hear it on the phone and we think, hey, this person's struggling with this, we'll go look at the numbers just to give us a gut check. And then we'll use that to inform whether or not we need to train the entire team on it, or if it's just an individual coaching point.
Or maybe it was just a blip in their day.
Yeah, exactly.
Could have been tired, hungover, having a bad...
Hopefully not hungover.
No. Young salespeople would never go out partying on a school night. I know myself personally, I would never do something like that, Chris.
I know you're too good for that, right?
Just a good, upstanding corporate citizen here. All of this seems like just a phenomenal amount of work. Why invest so much time making sure you're coaching and coaching on the right topics, and then you've built out so deeply these coaching plans?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question, and it certainly is a lot of work. But as a manager, you have to ask yourself, you know, where am I doing my hard work, right? And I think that a lot of managers get bogged down in some of the sexy stuff that you get to do, like going to meetings with executives, getting to hear the big plans for the company. But it really, at the end of the day, doesn't move the needle. It's stuff that you have to get done. But the most important thing is spending time with your people. And frankly, you know, you said that it's a lot of hard work, but in my opinion, it doesn't compare to the hard work that the SDRs on my team are doing every day. One thing that we've adopted for our management team is the idea of servant leadership. And that's something that's kind of popular right now and that people have talked about a lot, but it's something that we've always done. And that means that you have to serve your people before anything else. And truly, I think that your responsibility as a manager goes beyond delivering results, especially in sales where you're coaching people so much. Your real goal is to make your people great. And especially for sales development, you know, there's just so much opportunity out there for those folks, right? You mentioned it, you know, earlier, people might try and, you know, jump ship, go somewhere else. And if you're not investing time in your people, then you're opening yourself up to that risk. So The end goal here is really not to just build great SDRs or get a bunch of opportunities or even generate revenue. It's about creating great salespeople for the organization. And if that's your job, you really have to be a steward for that journey.
No pressure or anything.
No.
Yeah.
At least it brings meaning to what I do every day, thinking that.
That's fair. Yeah, you really are creating the next generation of talent at the organization. And as a company that I'm sure prides yourself on having the top talent in the, you know, at the organization, it's a pretty key role.
Yeah. You are who you hire. There's nothing that I've learned in my career so far that is so truthful as that statement. It really can make the difference between success and failure, but what's more important is what you do with that talent after they join your company. And make sure that you're helping them reach their goals as well as the company's goals.
Right on. So walk me through your day a little bit. Like I've got an understanding of, you know, this is the framework. This is how we understand the, you know, how we generate those insights, and, you know, you back it up. I love that you back it up with data. It's not just, you know, you sit, you walk by one call and you're like, oh, this guy's bad at opening, you know, because you don't necessarily have the context. So I love that you guys are doing that. How does this fit into your day? Like walk me through what is a typical day or week look like in your life?
So one of the things that I was very lucky to have at Smart Recruiters was a top performing rep. His name's Mike Shimonek, and he's been fantastic. He's
now been poached by everybody.
Not yet. He was promoted to team lead, and now he's a SDR manager. So he's doing what I did at the beginning when I came to Smart Recruiters now. So I spent a lot of my time with him. I listen to what he's hearing on the phone with the reps. So he'll be spending time day to day going from rep to rep, listening into their calls, doing a lot of the stuff that I originally was doing myself. But now I have a force multiplier. So I get to listen to him, talk to him about what he thinks is going on. And that's the first thing I do every morning. Is finding out what's going on with the team. Mm-hmm. I also carve out time for myself to listen in on calls as well, and make sure that we're on track. And that's really the morning is spending time with people, because that's when they're doing most of their work. The golden hours for us across all time zones, but based out of the, you know, the Pacific, is from 6 a.m. to 11 a.m. We have people dialing on the East Coast as well, or rather into the East Coast. So that's really important for us to be alert then. Mm-hmm. Once we get past those hours, we have a stand-up meeting where we bring everybody on the team together for 10 minutes to share some of their accomplishments, challenges, and the goals that they have for the rest of their day. Mm-hmm. And then that helps inform what the manager needs to do to help them achieve those goals through the rest of the day.
Gotcha. And sorry,
the first half.
And so the stand-up, sorry, I missed that. Was that the beginning or the middle of the day?
That's after that 11 o'clock block. So for us, okay, Right now, it's at 11:30 every day, right before lunchtime.
Gotcha. Because if I remember Taft's article or Taft's episode, most of your activity happens in the morning, calling, emailing, responding to emails, and then the afternoon is more of the setup for the next day.
That's right. Fair? Yes, that is correct. So we might have one more call block in the afternoon where people will try and catch folks before they leave for the day. But the end of the day when people aren't around anymore is spent prospecting, building up their accounts for what they're going to be doing next. And that's where, again, the manager comes in with helping people find new accounts, research new strategies for reaching those accounts, and in helping them with the more technical side. One thing that we've really instilled on our team is to understand Salesforce, right? So not just, coming in and having your day set on rails for you, but understanding how to run a report for looking at new accounts and actually building skills that way so that you're always in control of being able to find what you need. Mm-hmm. So that's something that we'll coach on as well, is helping people find the right stuff, be able to being able to measure how they're doing within the system. And my job at that point is to make sure that we're still on track in following our general strategy. So I'll look at reports of prospecting that people are doing and see if they're going into our target verticals. So we're all about account-based at Smart Recruiters. Mm-hmm. So for us, it's really important to make sure that we're expending effort, not just to get any account, but to get the right accounts. And that's really where my SLA with marketing is to make sure that our outbound efforts are aligned with generating pipeline in the verticals that matter to the company the most.
Gotcha. So how many people directly reporting up to you at this stage?
So the entire North America sales org. So right now we have 4 reps in San Francisco and a manager. And then in Spokane, we have 3 other SDRs, 2 of them that are outbound focused and 1 that's inbound. So right now, 8 folks. And then we also have an intern team in Spokane that helps with our account research that indirectly reports to me.
Gotcha. And then so the morning is spent sort of coaching between those 8 individuals?
Yeah.
And then walk me through the afternoon. Like, yeah. are you one-on-one? Is that when the one-on-one coaching happens? Or like, how do you apply this? When does this coaching framework get applied to your day? Or
yeah. So the afternoon would be when we conduct one-on-one training. When we conduct one-on-ones, it's not always just about training. Mm-hmm. It could be about what the rep needs to talk about that day. But if we have it scheduled, that's generally when it will be conducted. The rep will sit with the manager. They'll listen to a call that the rep requested help on together. And after that, they'll kind of just break and complete the scorecard separately. And one of the nice things about Exec Vision is that you can complete the scorecard without seeing somebody else's input. And then once they're both complete, see how well you compared. And that's really where we start to have some great discussions about where people think they're struggling or doing well. And we can really take the coaching to another level.
Very cool. So one last question. I know this is actually, you know what? Two questions. Sure. I changed my mind. Walk me through, like, let's pretend I'm one of your SDRs. Walk me through my sort of touch points in the week. And how does the, like, when am I going to see one-on-ones? When am I going to see that group coaching? When are we going to be having, any conversations where we're doing these call reviews? Is that all one? Is it separate? What does that look like?
Yeah, so it varies. And that's because they're all kind of on a different schedule. At a minimum, every week, a rep will have a one-on-one with their manager, where they might do that coaching if it's required, if it's falling on the cadence where in this one-on-one it's time to do coaching. Generally, I would say that happens 2 to 3 times a month out of 4 one-on-ones. So it's actually quite frequent. But we always make sure that if there's something else the rep needs to discuss, that they can schedule an additional one-on-one for the training. We don't want to bulldoze over what's important to the rep to be talking mm-hmm. about. In terms of training sessions, it depends on the time of quarter. If it's towards the end of the quarter, we might only have 1 in the entire month, but generally we'll have 2 to 3 team training sessions per month that'll last 45 minutes to an hour. We try and keep them during non-calling hours as well. So either during lunchtime or in the afternoon before people go home, we want them to be able to do their actual calling in the morning when they'll have the most chances of getting opportunities. And then we'll throw in some other fun training things as well. We'll do call competitions where people can submit their best call, and our VP of sales or CRO might pick the best one or the one that he thinks is the best. Then we'll go through and actually explain what happened, and the winner will get some kind of spiff, like a gift card or Amazon Alexa, something fun like that. Mm-hmm. We do a lot of fun stuff like that actually to keep things interesting. I think it's worth mentioning that because this ties into some of the data points we look at. Every month we'll do a Plinko game. Are you familiar with that?
Is that the one with the sticks and you pull out you get the marble sitting on top and then there's a bunch of sticks in the middle and you slowly pull out sticks?
Yeah, exactly. So we'll look at the data on a monthly basis for things like, you know, that are pretty obvious, like opportunities created, pipeline generated, but we'll also dig in a little bit more and look at call connects or how many decision makers did they reach out to. And we'll give people a marble if they're the winner in that particular category. And then we'll play the game. And the prizes range from, you know, nice stuff like pretty big gift cards to some, you know, less nice things like mullet hats. I think if anyone on my team listens to this, I think everybody has a mullet hat at this point.
Nice.
But we'll use that to keep things refreshing and also inform the team indirectly on what's important to us, like what KPIs are important for them to focus on. Beyond that, I think one of the most powerful sessions that we'll do bi-weekly is actually bi-monthly is a fireside chat with our CEO, Jerome. So the reps are required to come up with some questions for whichever topic we'll be discussing with him. And I think it's great because it gives them a floor where they have to ask intelligent questions to an executive, which is what they should be doing every day. But it's in a safer environment and also provides some really quick learning. Beyond that, there's other things that will come up, but that's how the general cadence looks over the course of an entire month. And I'm sure you can see how that might stack up on a particular week. We always want to make sure that they have plenty of time to actually sell though and don't get bogged down just in meetings where they're getting really good sales skills that they can never actually use.
Yeah. I spend 7 hours a day training and, you know, half an hour a day filling up my prospecting tool. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. So this fireside chat, is that just your sales team or SDR team or?
It's specifically for the SDR team. Sales development is a department that is just prioritized in the company. It's the most important thing for us now is to go out, get our name out there and set up opportunities. And it's something that our entire executive team aligned on when they made the investment to build it out. So it started, I think, in the fireside chat, that is, I think it started the first month that I joined the company, but it was something that Jerome came to me and tapped me on the shoulder and said, "Hey, make sure that this happens. I really care about this. I want to talk to your team. I want to know what's going on. And I want them to be able to ask questions so that everybody can get better." And it's something that we've kept going for over a year now.
Wow. What kind of questions do they generally ask? Like, is it just anything about the business or is it about sales skills or?
It's generally about sales and product. Some of it can be about, hey, where's the product going? What's the strategy? Some of it's also, hey, I keep hearing this objection. People keep saying X, Y, and Z, like, how would you respond to that? And it's very refreshing to see what the CEO might say versus, you know, what your sales manager might say. And then we can always meet in the middle to make it an actual tactic.
Yeah.
An example of one that we did recently was about GDPR regulations, which I don't want to put people to sleep here on the podcast, but it's a pretty serious thing for folks in our space that buy applicant tracking systems. So we were able to get some really good tactical knowledge about that and come up with just some ways to engage people around that conversation point. And we'll keep doing things like that throughout the entire year. It always changes.
Awesome. And that's, you said monthly, a monthly cadence or bi-monthly?
Generally it's bi-monthly. So twice a month for us.
Twice a month. Okay. That's fantastic.
Yeah. It's really been a pleasure to have that kind of a resource for my team.
It's great to get that level of investment from the executive team.
Exactly. If any CEOs are listening, you should do that. Find the time and make it happen. Sometimes it has to get rescheduled, but it always does happen.
What do you think the impact has been on your team and the company as a whole as a result of having these sessions?
Yeah. So for my team in particular, I think that it's definitely helped them speak to executives better because they're reaching out to folks that are CHROs, which is Chief Human Resources Officers, if you're not familiar with the term, or Chief People Officers, but also VPs of Talent Acquisition, folks that you need to be really just concise and to the point with what your questions might be. So I think that's been great. It's also given them that tactical knowledge that we talked about earlier. Mm-hmm. In terms of the whole company, I think it helps get results, right? Which is pipeline at the end of the day. They've done really well. The team's secured more pipeline than what our goals have been most of the quarters. We've done really well. So that's the business result. And lastly, I think the most important thing for me is that I think it's great for retention. Everybody out there saying, hey, how hard it is to keep great SDRs. You know, everybody wants to get promoted constantly. You know, they want to move up. And the fact of Smart Recruiters, and I shared this with our team, is that, you know, we're an enterprise sales org, and it's hard to kind of go from an SDR to an enterprise sales rep. And we do have a path in our company. It just takes mm-hmm. a little bit longer than if you were to go from being an SDR setting 50 appointments a month to a SMB transactional AE, you know, in 6 months, right? I tell them mm-hmm. that's not going to happen here. But being in San Francisco, there's so many opportunities out there for people that, you know, frankly, I just tell them, hey, if you truly find something you think is better, then go for it. But here's all the reasons why I think that you should stay here. And I think mm-hmm. that having FaceTime with the CEO and being able to ask questions like that really helps us keep people and shows them that we're truly invested in them.
Do you mind sharing your retention rate or how you see that?
We've had no voluntary exits from my team since I started.
Which was how long ago? Like last week?
A little over a year. Yeah. It's just been a week. No, it's been a little bit over a year now. So 0% voluntary attrition.
Wow. That's impressive.
Yeah. And hopefully that will continue. Hopefully I'm not on here, you know, tomorrow or emailing you saying, hey, I should have said that.
just to have that across a year is a pretty strong record, even if there's going to be, you know, a couple of blips here and there. I feel like we really buried the lead with this one. We should have almost led with that. Hey, would have been a much. Yeah. Because I think there's so many companies out there that sort of struggle to build that career path. And it's clear that the investment that you're making in your SDR teams in leveling them up is proven to them that it's worth sticking around for, even if there are companies that'll put them into a better role that might even be better paying.
Yeah. And it really kind of brings us full circle to why we did the training framework, because you're investing in your team every time that you do that. So many SDRs just decide, hey, I can't deal with this anymore because no one's really investing in them. They're just, you know, they have to self-train themselves. They have to go, you know, find the leads for the AE. And what people lose sight of is that these are your future AEs. You need to do work to make them great so that they're able to produce revenue and not just get fired immediately after they get promoted. And one nice example of how we think about this is really as a machine, right? So we put this effort in to the sales development machine, and hopefully revenue comes out the other end. And, you know, that might sound a little dehumanizing, but it's something that we've explained to our team that, you know, we're a machine that creates a pipeline for the closing team. They then go and close and create revenue. But in order for us to be really efficient, we need to invest time in coaching and really just looking at ourselves and seeing if we're good at what we do. Mm-hmm. And if we can do that, we're going to make the machine more efficient. But really what's happening is that you're becoming great salespeople. And that's what matters at the end of the day, is that we're advancing our craft and just becoming a stronger team.
And it shows. I mean, I think across the, you know, the two interviews with yourself and with Taft, I mean, the level of detail that we got into with Taft on how to pull these metrics out was incredible. And now the depth that you guys go into all of this training, I'm surprised you've been able to put all of this together in a year.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And for being able to put together it in a year, that's just what you do at startups. You know, that's what it's all about.
Right on, Chris. Hey, one last question, sort of taken the conversation to a bit of a left turn. So actually I lied. I'm doing this. I'm very bad today, but two questions. One, you mentioned that prime time for your SDRs was 6 a.m. to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard. So for the, it sounds like most of your SDRs are based on the West Coast. So do they start the day at 6 a.m.?
Yeah. So all of our reps are based on the West Coast right now. What we've done is split up the team between East and West. So yes, we do have reps that actually volunteered to be on East Coast hours when they started, and they'll come in at 6 o'clock or 5:45 in the morning. So super early, but they get to leave, you know, at 2, 3 o'clock. It's something that we totally understand. I'm not going to have people working 12-hour days. We don't work in investment banking. So there's no need for that. But that is how we do structure the team. And I'm speaking with the guys that come in at that time. It's something that they need to do. And because we let people volunteer for it, they've been able to just kind of build their life, you know, out in a way that's conducive to being productive coming in that early.
Mm-hmm. And I imagine there's some good East Coast territories that are up for grabs.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Because we sell to enterprise companies, there's just a huge concentration in your New Yorks, your Bostons, those kinds of places that if we're starting calling at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock Pacific time, mm-hmm. we're already too late.
Yeah. Awesome. And my last question, I promise, this is the last question.
All right.
Is remind me about the Plinko game. So you mentioned that everybody gets marble, a single marble for doing something well. The marbles go in the top, and then you basically pull out straws. How do you win? What's the difference between me winning an Amazon Alexa and a mullet hat?
Well, I wish I had something more meaningful for you here, that it's because, you know, you're a great sales rep and the ball is going to guide itself to the right path, or you get to put it through a better slot at the top. But really it's just luck, which is kind of meaningful for sales dev, because hey, you know, a lot of it does come down to luck. And you know it's like what Jed Blunt says, hey, I'll make one more call today, who knows what I'll get.
Yeah.
And you know, if you have more marbles, you have more chances, right? So if you're doing everything else right and you have five marbles versus somebody that's got one, you know, maybe you'll win an Alexa and four mullet hats, but at least now you've got Amazon in your home.
That's fair. You're just increasing your surface area for luck then.
Exactly. So if you do better at the metrics that we care about, which is opportunities created, pipeline generated, call connects, you know, dials made, you know, it actually fluctuates on a monthly basis because we'll look at where we want to incentivize folks. Then you'll win some more prizes, which hopefully won't be the mullet hat.
Amazing, Chris. That's incredible. Do you have a mullet hat on you right now?
I don't. So if you're watching the video, you might see that, but maybe next time I'll wear it.
Okay. You have a deal, sir. Chris, I want to thank you for coming on the show. This has been, I feel like I learned so much, and I'm almost envious of the SDRs on your team. They get such a great introduction to, you know, sales and how to be an amazing SDR and future account exec. You really do have a lucky team over there.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. And thank you so much for having me on the podcast.
Happy to. Thanks again.
All right. Thanks, Colin.